Well, you'll notice there's a few different things around today, and we'll get to that, okay? I know there's a lot of excitement about the new things that are around, so I'll explain that in a little bit. But before we do, I thought I would give you a little bit of feedback on prayer from our trip to Myanmar, because something really interesting happened. There was the middle Sunday when you guys were all here. I was on an aeroplane flying from kind of the middle Mandalay up to Michina in the north, and so we didn't get to go to a church service that we would have loved to go to. But in the afternoon, instead, we went up what they call Prayer Mountain. So this here is a picture of Chris doing something weird and Jabu trying to hide. But behind, they basically built this kind of viewing structure. It kind of looks like a six-story high-rise building, and this is called Prayer Mountain. So the denomination has gotten together and said, we've got this land, we want to build something for prayer, to be able to direct people towards prayer. And the next photo should show, this is us walking down the steps. Unfortunately, I didn't get a really great photo of what was. It was like this structure, a circular structure, and around it were these little rooms. So next one, if you could please, Gordon. See these little, like I've zoomed into what's on the top picture up the top left. They're kind of like, it looks at a distance like little dog houses or something like that. But as you get closer to them, they're little personal prayer stations. They're little places where you can come and have your own place of prayer. The next one, please. This is what is inside them. So there's a few of these ones on the right. They were kind of dotted around the outside of this circular building. And then there's the actual building itself is like a donut shape. On the left, the men go to pray. And on the right, the women. It's segregated just to be safe in prayer. I don't know. And there's all these little rooms, downstairs and upstairs. And you just go in and you close the door. And you see there's this little plinth. There's a mat on the floor. You're meant to kneel. And there's a Bible there and a notebook. And you write down, you know, whatever God's spoken to you, write that down. And I thought, how good is that? Their denomination said, this is so important prayer to us that we're going to build a mountain. Well, they didn't build a mountain. They, I don't know, bought a mountain or something. And people just go there throughout the day, throughout the week, and pray. And so we went and we prayed. They had this great expectation, this feeling that I am kneeling in a place where millions, literally millions of prayers have gone up to God. It was just a great experience. Also, there's this little sign that they had, and I am told that this says that if you're found to have more than one person in a prayer booth, kind of like if you're mucking around in this holy space, then it's kind of like the big dogs of the organization, like the elders are going to come around and deal with you, all right? I don't know the exact translation, but I think it says they're going to come and kick your butt or something along those lines. So it was pretty serious. They were telling me, this is a serious thing, this sign. You've got to believe it. They'll come around and deal with you if you kind of misuse this prayer space. So, yeah, how good is that? That's weird. So we're in our last week looking at prayer, and I thought, yeah, it'd be good to kind of reflect on different ways that people do prayer around the world. And we're going to look at different ways that we're going to do prayers this morning as well. But first, I want to share with you just a couple of thoughts about prayer. And today we're looking at prayer in the bigger sense, prayer as a church, as we, the body, pray. And so these few thoughts have been put together through hotel rooms and airports, so hopefully it kind of comes together in something that makes sense. But the interesting thing in the Bible is that oftentimes we read through the scriptures and we want to look and think, what does prayer mean for me? We individualize the scriptures to us, right? Like that's how we read the Bible often, is just by ourselves. And so it's very easy to individualize things, but so much of the Bible is actually written for bigger groups, for God's people, for the congregation. And so we're going to be looking at this as a, how does God's people pray as a group? And as I've been looking at this and reflecting on it, it's quite challenging. Because when we look at us as a group, how we pray, you know, as the leader of this group, I take a great deal of responsibility in this. This is an area that I have to put my hand up and own, how our prayer health is going. And I guess looking at our prayer health as a church, I do fear that we're lacking in this area of prayer. That we've got a lot that we can keep doing, that we've got a lot of room to grow still in prayer as a community. That that we need to find ways that we can come together more in prayer. And in 2 weeks' time, we're planning a prayer Monday night, not tomorrow night, but the following Monday, that we're going to call you together and come and pray, because we know we've got the Easter Festival coming up the following weekend, and we know a lot of people are going to come onto our site, so we want to cover that in prayer. And you'll have seen through the prayer series, we've been calling people forward at the end of the service. And some have come and some haven't, and that's fine, because it's just another opportunity we want to provide for prayer. And I hope that's been appreciated. We want to continue that, because we want prayer to be something that is more at the forefront of what we do. We want prayer to be something that is so important, because it is the lifeblood of our church. It's the way that we will succeed, is through God moving as we pray. I read it said that there's never been a revival based on someone organizing a revival. You know, right? Like it never happens. If everyone's, oh yeah, we're going to plan a revival, it's going to happen on this day. It's never going to happen on that day, okay? We can't tell God, I want a revival. But every revival, there's been so many, and they're so diversely different, have all been based on prayer. They've all come about because people have been desperate in prayer, and they've come to God and they've asked Him to move, and He's moved. And so prayer is the lifeblood of Jesus' church. Actually, Jesus was so passionate about prayer that there was one time that we can read in the Bible, it's in the book of Matthew, that He comes and He flipped over tables. He was so upset. He got irate with people because they were coming into the temple courts, and in a place that was meant to be a place of solitude and reflection and prayer, they had turned it into somewhere where there was buying and selling going on. There was animals there. There was dodgy deals kind of taking place. And Jesus, as He turned over the tables, He said this in Matthew 6. Next slide, God. My house will be called a house of prayer. Matthew 21. My house will be a house of prayer. Now we know as Jesus was in Jerusalem, as in that time, the temple was really the center of worship. At that transition out of being the temple to being we are the temples. We are the bearers, the carriers of the Holy Spirit. We are God's living and active and breathing temples. God lives within us. And so life has shifted. No longer do we go to the temple as a place that we must go to meet God. Now we are the places that we can meet God, so we can have individual interaction. But as God's people come together, we are the church. And so as we come together, as all the temples kind of building into one bigger group, not the building but the people, we too need to hold on to this words of Jesus. My house here, my people as they gather will be a people of prayer. We must be the people who follow on what Jesus said. You know, you've got to be praying people. And when we look at our prayer life as a church, we need to reflect that back into these words of Jesus. Are we being the people who are called and are seen by others to be the people who are desperate prayers? Do we pray? Yet if we look at this, and if our success of this series is only that we get people who pray more, you know, if through the time that we have together, if the end result is that Kruger Pray Baptist Church has more volume of prayer than they've ever had before, you know, more time on our knees, or, you know, if we were to calculate it, if all that happens is that we can say, yeah, we pray more now as a church, then really this series has been a failure. Because what we're not about is quantity, okay? We're not about more time in prayer. Because there are a lot of religions that pray, you know, like the in Myanmar, Buddhists, they pray. There are some groups that pray more than what we would pray. They would have more time on their knees. The Hindus pray. Muslims, they have like 5 times a day where they set aside times of prayer. So there are other religious people in the world who pray and pray more. So we're not about prayer as a timekeeping thing. What we're actually after is that we realize that when we pray, we come before the King of Kings. When we pray, we come before the God of the universe. And not only do we speak, but He listens. Isn't that an amazing thing to realize when we speak about prayer? That That we are the people who God, the one true loving God, knows so much that He actually wants to hear us when we pray. And He promises to act. He promises to answer and come through. That's the God that we serve. So it's not about making sure that we are guilted into spending longer praying, because guilting people into doing anything or making it a religious timekeeping thing, that doesn't make us into a praying church. But what develops us is that we realize, wow, we serve a God who loves us. And the more we get to understand and know that love, the more that we want to communicate with Him through prayer. Can you see the difference? One's based on, fear and guilt and shame. The other's built on relationship and desire and heart. That's what we want. That's got to be the core of who we are when we pray, that we speak to a God who listens and responds. That is just so great. For us as a church, I think one of the greatest times of prayer was 2 years ago when we recognized that there were a number of people in, like way too many to be normal, in our congregation who were ill and going through difficulty. And so we called for 3 nights of prayer and people fasted and we saw answers to prayer. It was a great time. But it came about because we saw there was a problem that we needed to see solved. There was something wrong that we needed to address, and we had the means, we had the God who could address it, but it took us to that to really come and have a deeper time of prayer. And it was valuable, but now, 2 years later, I start to think, why hasn't that valuable thing become something that we're much more regular at doing? Because it's so worthwhile. Why don't we see a prayer night just as full as we would a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening service? What would keep us from gathering together to pray? What would make us think that that's not more important than gathering for any other thing? So I want to encourage you, not as a guilt thing, but encourage you as a love thing. We know a God who can answer us, and we should then pray more. I just want to flick to a passage in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, and speak briefly on it. It says this, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think this is a great passage to help us to kind of leave on our minds as we look at prayer. If we could come back to this all the time when we're ever thinking through things. I mean, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Anyone ever get anxious? Anyone ever kind of worry about anything? So this passage, Paul, he's writing this to the church in Philippi, but he's speaking it to a church, to churches across history. That's not just grounded to this day. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Being anxious, being worrying, says that we're kind of meditating on something, okay? It says, don't meditate on the wrong things. Don't get anxious and worry, because worry says that you're not trusting in God. You're trusting, you're worrying, you're concerned about this thing that you're holding, and you're thinking that you have full control over its outcome because you're focusing on it. You're meditating on it. It says, don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. And this word anything is a pretty broad word, right? It means anything, all right? Like some of us think, oh, I'll just save all the big things for God because He's the big thing God. So I'll keep and I'll get worried about the little things, but I'll give the big things that I can't control to God, and we still stay anxious. Or we give the little things to God but think that God couldn't do the big things, and we remain anxious, we remain worried. Our concerns, our minds stick on our things, not on God. But He says, don't be worried about anything. But is always there to give you the flip side. It says one thing, but, so it's about to give you the other. You can be prepared when you read the but. In every situation. Okay, so it says anything in the past. So now it's saying in every situation. So this is the other side of the story. In every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation. So don't hold back on the situations, anything, by prayer and petition. Paul interestingly splits these two things up, prayer and petition, in kind of making prayer into the communication with God, the relational communication, and petition meaning those things that we're asking of God. So he's saying through prayer and petition. And then he uses a with. So he's saying this is the how, this is the mechanics of it. We're praying and petitioning God with thanksgiving. He's saying the attitude of our hearts as we go into prayer, the language must be of thanks as we're praying. So we're kind of saying, God, I know that you're going to answer me when I pray. I've got complete faith in you that you're going to come through and live up to the promises that you've promised me. So with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the way that our heart speaks to God in prayer really reflects what our heart's attitude is. If we just pray about things and don't expect God to answer them, he knows our hearts. Or if we only ever pray for little things, well, he knows that we don't see him as an incredibly huge and generous and loving God. We just think of him as the little things God. Or if we only give him the big things and want to hold on to the little things, then he knows that our hearts don't really understand the relationship he wants to have with us. So this God wants both the big and the little. He wants it all. And then it says, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say, and God will give you everything you want. It doesn't say, and God will just do everything you ask him to, because, you know, you're way wiser than God, so he'll just do everything you want. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So this promise is saying, when we give our prayers to God, when we hand things in our lives over to him that we've been anxious and worried, then suddenly what comes over us is a peace that the Holy Spirit can bring us that transcends all understanding, which means that everyone else in the world worries about this stuff. They're still worrying about it, and they're looking at you and going, why can you be calm in the midst of the storm? Why are you not worrying when there's a lot of things to be worrying about? Why aren't you kind of like stressed to your eyeballs when all this is happening? And then your response can be, well, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That's why you can't understand it. It's way above your mind. You can't understand this. Maybe don't say it like that. But you know, like that's when you go, oh, wow, Philippians 4:7 was right. God's word is true. I can move through things without having to stress and worry about them because I've given them to God. And now God's given me a peace because he has the worry, not me. And if you still have the worry, then you pray about it again. Keep praying about it and praying about it until you get rid of it. And then God promises a peace. His peace will overcome you. What an amazing promise. What an amazing way to kind of, I guess, end this series, to know that God is big enough to be able even to handle your worries and biggest concerns. He wants to take them because he's more capable to handle them than we could ever be. And that's a great promise from a loving and kind and amazing God. We're going to move into what we've called prayer stations now. And you'll see around the church a number of different stations. I think there's 9 of them. There's 1, 2 down here. There's 10. Oh, wow, I'm glad you said that, because if people have gone, okay, I've gone through 9 and I'm done, sit down, and there's one more. So there's 10, 2, 1 at the back, 1 in the middle, 1 in the corner, and then the rest of them out there. What we want to do this morning is to just give you time. You've got a lot of time, okay? About 25 minutes before kids come screaming and all that kind of stuff. They're going to be looked after. It's okay. Don't rush out. But what we wanted to do today is just to say, you've got time to pray. At each of these stations, there's explanations on how you could use it. It might be that you go to one station and spend the next 20 minutes at one station praying. Great. It might be that you're a super fast prayer and you just like read through it, blah, 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 and then go to the next one. Great. There's things on here to interact with. It might be reading a book, or here I think it's writing on stones. There's different aspects of our faith that each of them touch on. So they're creative ways to help us to pray differently and to engage in some physical things as well as stepping back and praying. Some of them have chairs around that you can just sit. It might be that you just want to go out and step out into the sun and pray for a while. But take this time as a quiet time where we can reflect on God and on the things that these stations encourage us towards. We want you to spread out, but then when you hear the music playing, then there's just going to be one song played quietly, and then the last song will close the service. So why don't you get up now, and we might just move some of the chairs back that are near them as well, if you don't mind kind of moving some chairs and so there's a bit of space. But spread out. There's 10 stations. That means there's like 20 at each station or something like that. So would you stand now? I'm not going to close in prayer because you're going to pray. So let's go. One here, there's one there, and there's heaps outside under the veranda area. That might be a good place to start to spread everyone out.